in Parsha Bo. We're kind of flipping back and forth. The last 2 days we did Shadal's view of the halacha, what the Masorah is, what the power of the rabbis are to interpret. And there's more to do here. We're scratching the surface. I do want to emphasize that a few days ago when we talked about how Beinar Abayim, right, Chazal interpreted what really means twilight, that they were supposed to shech the Karban Pesach at twilight. Chazal understood that as the afternoon, because logistically in the Beis HaMikdash, you needed the whole afternoon in order to do the Karbanos. I want to emphasize that Shadal says that's also Nachon and Emet. He says that's correct to interpret it that way, because the Torah is meant to be a practical document. You need to use it for halacha as well. So I want to emphasize that even if Chazal were interpreting the text for its new situations, for new possibilities that were happening in their days, right? That's part of what the Torah or what God wants. I want to emphasize that just at the outset. Okay.
That's a bit of what I touched on, what I was saying. That practically, it wouldn't work to just have one person.
So with the interesting switch here is not that Chazal were making it up because, you know, they came into problems and they needed to reinterpret Sukkim away from what God intended. Let's say you would say God intended for you to shech the Karban Pesach at twilight, and the rabbis are like, well, that's impossible, so we're just going to go away from God's will. According to Shadal, this is God's will the whole time for Chazal to have that power. And one day, I don't know if Shadal talks about this anywhere, but one day I think the natural result from this way of thinking is that when we get this power back, that's what the Sanhedrin is going to be doing, which is interpreting according to the times and the needs of the people. All right, different topic, which is Makah Bechorah. What does it mean that God passed through the land of Egypt when he did Makah Bechorah, killed the Bechors of the Egyptians, and didn't kill the Bechors of the Jews? Okay, then even more so, God cannot pass if he's all around us. If Hashem is here and Hashem is there and Hashem is truly everywhere, then God cannot pass, right? Right, Gavi? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what is exactly does it mean that God passed through the land of Egypt? This is in Yud Bet, easy to remember, right? Vavarti, I will pass. Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Belayla, is that? Throughout Egypt on this night. Vehiketi kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim, I will strike down all the firstborns in Egypt. Me'adam v'ad behema, right? From man to animal, right? We don't normally pay attention to this, but the animal kingdom also got a hit. Right? What did the animals do wrong, right? But they also got hurt through the Makah Bechorah. It says, "Ubechol Elohei Mitzrayim, all the gods of Egypt, Eseh Shvatim, I will make judgments out of. Ani Hashem, I am Yukevok, I am Hashem." So what does it mean of Avarti? And if you look later, a little bit later, it describes how God does not pass through the land. Why are you supposed to put blood on your doorposts? Next pasuk, right? But Adam lachem la'ot, right? This blood is going to be a sign for you, alabatim, asher atem sham, that you're there. Ve'ra'iti et adam, God says, I am going to see the blood. U'pasachti aleichem, and I am going to have pesach on you, which Rashi says means to have mercy, but okay? But maybe skip over, pass over you. V'lo yiyabachem negef l'mashchit, and you won't be affected by the mashchit. What does the mashchit mean?
The slaughterer.
The destructor, the death person, the angel of death, right? That indicates that who is killing the Egyptian firstborn? Not God. I won't let the mashchit affect you. What that literally means is that it's not God who is affecting these people, but rather there is a mashchit, and God is the one who's protecting the Jews, protecting the people who put the blood up. He's the one who's passing over there, making sure that the mashchit pass over their houses.
Wait,
so which one is it?
God doesn't say he's passing over.
What do you mean?
God doesn't say he's passing through.
He says, I will pass over Egypt. That's what it says in the pasuk. And yet, we have Tzokim referring to the mashchit, that God is having kill all the firstborns, and God is going to prevent the mashchit from affecting the Jews.
Is it the mashchit?
So which one is it? That's exactly the question. And you see that Rashi also has some contradictions. So, for example, it says, Esesh Shvatim Ani Hashem. When we write in this pasuk, I will make judgments over those gods. I am God. I am Yukev Avke. What does Rashi say? Ani ba'atzmi v'lo ayidei shliach. It's going to be me who's doing this, no other messenger. Meaning there's no mashkit, presumably there's no mashkit in the picture. And yet, if you look at Rashi again, in reference to the mashkit, where is this? A little bit later in Yud Bet Chav Gimel, when it actually talks about how the God passes over, Va'avar Hashem Lin Gof Et Mitzrayim, God passed around, went over to plague Egypt, V'ra'at Adam Ala Mashkof, and he saw the blood on the lentils, Val Shem Zuzot, U'pasach Hashem Al Petach, God passed over those, or maybe hung over those houses, V'lo Yitein HaMashchit Lavo, and protected those houses that had the blood on it from the mashchit to come. So when it actually happened, it says that he protected them from the mashchit affecting them. So again, that's not God. That's something else. And look at Rashi. He says, V'lo yitein ha-mashchit. V'lo yitein lo yicholot lavo. So you see that there's this actual reference to God does not make... God is the one protecting from the mashchit affecting the Jews. And again, in the pasuk before that, it says you shouldn't leave your house. Don't make sure not to leave. If you have the blood on your door, make sure not to leave the house. Why not? If God is passing through every house and making sure that it doesn't affect the righteous and the good, the Jewish people, why is it that they have to stay indoors? Why is this quarantine? What does Rashi say? Magid, this is to tell you, right? This is in Chafet. Magid, me'achashenitna reshut l'mashchit l'chaval. Once God gives permission to the destructive force, the mashchit, to cause destruction, then it has no power to distinguish between the good and the bad. He doesn't have the power to, God gives permission to the mashchit, he cannot rein it in. That's what it sounds like from Rashi, right?
Well, then wouldn't that say that he would just kill all of them?
If anybody leaves the house, then God can't protect them. God can only protect them if they stay inside. Which is weird on its own.
That's a question.
Yeah.
Does only the firstborn have to stay inside?
That's also a good question. That's a different question, which is how would the mashkir be able to distinguish between firstborn and not firstborn?
Let's say he can because.
Oh, okay.
Only the firstborn just can die.
Correct. Exactly.
Would that mean that if regular Egyptians can walk outside,
good questions. I'm focusing on, is it God alone, like we had indicated in the pasuk, that God is the one who's passing through, or is it also with the mashkit? And remember from the Pesach Haggadah, we say that God is the one who took the Jews out of Egypt. Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, right? I without any angel, I without any other angel, right? No other shliach except for me, says God. That's the midrash. That's the Haggadah. So which one is it? Is it just God? Is it the mashkit? So I saw that, for example, Tosvos in Das Akenim says it's God and the mashkit and no one else. Meaning it's God alone with the mashkit are the only ones involved. So when we say God alone, we mean God alone with his mashkit. So it's two people, two beings involved. I saw that Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Haggadah, I think it's called Nagei Nativ or something like that, says that you might think that God wasn't involved at all in Makkah Bechorot, insofar as God, that would be so cruel for God to be directly involved in killing all the firstborns. So every other plague was through a natural process. This is like a completely miraculous process. So the Rav Yaakov Emden says, do not say, what it means that me without a malach means to say, I and not only a malach. I was involved as well. Don't say that God wouldn't have been involved in the destruction of other people. They deserved it. The firstborn had to die for the reasons that are explained by the Mefarshim. And therefore, God was also involved. Don't say that God was not involved. Okay? That's another possibility. The Abarbanel says that the Mashkit is a natural force. Abarbanel says that there was some kind of airborne pandemic that was affected the firstborn specifically through a miracle, meaning that the miracle was insofar as God took this avir me'ufash, soreif, like this burning stale air, whatever that means, and it entered into the nose and mouths of the Egyptians, of the Egyptian firstborn. And the miracle was it only affected the firstborns, and it also didn't affect the Jews.
I thought the pasuk in next week's parsha says that God won't give us the same punishments that He gave to Mitzrayim. So then, how could they have had COVID in Mitzrayim?
If we're affected today, very good question. That's only when you keep the mitzvah. Are we all keeping the mitzvah as we should be? But good question. But okay, so what Shaddai has a different answer. Let's look at what Shaddai says on this. Okay. He says, Ve'avarti. Where are we? Ve'avarti. Yud bet. Liyot ha-magefa hazot mishuna mikol shara magefot. This plague is different. God is specifically the one who goes through all of Egypt, right? In this pasuk, it describes God as being directly involved because this plague is unlike any other plague. Ve'mashulo metu ele b'chorot levadam. The fact that it's only affecting the b'chorot. Every other plague affected all the Egyptians. And the fact that if that plague didn't affect the Jews, Shaddai had explained last week, if you remember, that it didn't affect them because of their geography, where they were living. Not by miracle. And also the fact that the Jews were not affected, even the Bechors of the Jews were not affected. That's why it's being attributed. I mean, God didn't literally pass through the land. You remember we had that anthropomorphic problem. He says, it's not that God actually passed through the land, but the fact that it was so specific to the Bechors of the Egyptians, we can attribute that direct effect on such a specific amount of people as coming from God. It does come from God, but not that God literally passed through the land. It's what we would call a figure of speech, maybe, or a metaphor. It's ki'ilu, like God passed through the land and said, this house is good, and this house is no good. This house is good, this house is no good. Even though, obviously, on a literal, on a real level, on a factual level, that's not what happened. Ki'ilu. It's as if, hayahu over, mi bayit labayit. As if he went from house to house. Umavchin bein b'chor l'sheinu b'chor. And he would distinguish between the firstborn and the non-firstborn. Bein mitzri l'Yisrael, whether it was an Egyptian or an Yisrael. Mikomakom. Nevertheless. So that's a significant point on its own, right? That it's not that God literally passed through the land, but it's so specific that we would like say that as a figure of speech. It's like in the imagery of it, right? The painting a picture of what it was like, it's as if God had like specifically passed house to house and like picked people. Nevertheless, God is not described, but it's not described as if God is the one who struck each Bechor, Ela Akel Hu Haya Over. Rather, God passed by each house. The Imam Amashit, and with him was the angel that was the Mashkit, the destructive angel that was killing people. Meaning, in order, so this is the opposite of Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden says the idea of Aniva lo Malach, Aniva lo Saraf, is that God was involved, and don't say that God wouldn't be so cruel as to kill people directly. So Shaddai says God could not possibly be described by the Torah as killing people directly, so that's why it always describes this Mashkit as being alongside God. That's the opposite of Rav Yaakov Emden. Akel haya omer l'mashkit et zetake. So in the imagery of this, again, this is a figure, this is an imagery thing. The God is, it's as if God was picking each house that was relevant, and it's as if God was saying to the Mashkit, okay, you go and attack this house. Kain mashma, mimasha kasa lamata, lo yitena mashkit. That's what it means later on in Chaf Gimel when it says that he did not give the permission to the Mashkit, right? He doesn't want to allow the Mashkit to hurt the Jews. Umasha amru razal, and yeah, that's exactly what it means in the Yerushalmi Sanhedrin Perek Bet, where it says, Aniva lo malach, me and no other angel. Meaning, I was involved in making sure that the mashchit is the one who attacks others. Hakavana shalom nimsari inyan l'shum malach shiyakeh. That's to mean that he didn't give the permission to any other angel to be the one who struck. Belot tzivoy prati me'akel. Without a specific command from God. Ki hu levado yodea telumot. Only God alone knows the hidden things. Umafchin bein bechor l'sheinu bechor. And knows the difference between who is a firstborn and who is not a firstborn. The idea being is that God is on two levels. He is going house to house because he's distinguishing between so many factors, whether they're Jew or not Jew, whether they're firstborn or not firstborn. On the other hand, it doesn't describe him as being the one who directly attacks the firstborns, but rather he has a mashchit to it. And so what does Shaddai understand aniva lo malach means? It means that he didn't give permission to a malach to decide who's a firstborn, who's not a firstborn, because only God would know something like that. Okay? That's the idea. That who is deciding who's the firstborn, who's deciding which house has to be attacked, that is only up to God. Yes, there's a mashchit involved, but that's the decision-making process is only from God. That's how Shaddai understands. Ani v'lo malach. Very interesting stuff. All right, shkoyach. Let's end here.